Undoubtedly, in these parshios, the fact that the brothers sell Yosef is what is the focal point for many of the Mefarshim. And there are a lot of different questions which are asked. Some wonder, you know, did the brothers really sell Yosef or not? Discussions in Rashi and the Rashbam and others. But there's one, I think, very basic and very simple question which bothered some of the Mefarshim, and there are many different answers to give, which I think is so important, so fundamental, and that is, why did the brothers sell Yosef? Or to ask the question a little bit differently, how could the brothers have sold Yosef? The brothers are Shiftei Ka. The brothers are our foundation as far as Klal Yisrael in so many ways. And how could it be that the brothers were able to get to the point where they were going to sell Yosef? We're going to try to suggest three approaches. Hopefully they can all be good and clear. One of them a little bit more innovative than the rest. And we'll try to sort of develop them and try to at least give some brief insights into what is going on. The first mahalach is the mahalach which in many ways comes out of the simple read of the pshat and psukim, a variety of midrashim which Rashi references here or there, and other points emphasized by Rav Hirsch and others. And that is that you are dealing with a case of sibling rivalry. You're dealing with a case in which on a level of pshat, Yosef was the favorite, the Torah tells us. Yosef was the favorite. Yosef, when he sold, Yaakov was unable to be comforted the entire time. Yosef has dreams that project him as the future leader. He shares those dreams with his brothers. Akadekach, at the Orachayim, the Moshav Zakenim, wonder, like, why would you possibly do that? Share your dreams about future. Well, why would you do that? And he gets a special gift of the Ketores Pasim. Rashi adds in, not just that he was maybe certain negative comments about at least B'nai Lea, if not more, according to the Ramban, of things they did that were problematic to Yaakov, Aver Menachai, Arayos, things like that. It seems like they were engaged in problematic activities. And Yosef was the one. In many ways, it was a case of sibling rivalry. It was a case of favoritism in the family. And it got to a point in some things, you know, one way of saying it is even good people sometimes, you know, if things get to a certain point and things are very, very difficult and things are very challenging and things get very personal, it looks on some level like that's what happened. If I get the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, you know, the chait of Mechiras Yosef and the punishment that the brothers had to get as a result of Mechiras Yosef seems to confirm this fact on some level. It was a story of sibling rivalry. Again, Rav Hirsch writes a little bit about the mistake of favoritism. Again, the Orachayim, which can't even wonder why share the dreams. You know, there's a lot of questions that are going on here, but on some level, it sort of is what it is. There is a second mahalach, and these mahalach were not all mutually exclusive, but the different levels of interpretation. The second mahalach would perceive things very differently. The fact that Yosef ended up in Mitzrayim, the fact that all this happened, while it looks on some level that people were making choices, but their Baruch Shalom was making a lot of decisions behind the scenes. Yosef, later on, when he speaks to the brother in a couple parts of now, these are sugyas of Vayesh, of Miketz, of Vayigash, says to them, you know, you may have thought to do bad things, but Elokim, Chashava, Tova, that Ribono Shel Olam was behind this and did some good things as a result. This is the fallout of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. This is what Avram was told in Parsha Lech Lecha. There's going to be a time, it's Kufa, when you're going to end up in Mitzrayim. The Ramban writes that Avram's choice in Lech Lecha to go down to Mitzrayim, Maisa Avo Simin Labanim, was setting the stage for the fact that we were also going to have to go, that the Shiftei Ka were going to have to go down, and they were going to be there. There's an element of Haskacha Pratis taking place here. And Rav Hirsch points that out also, that there does seem to be an interesting element of their Bolshom's calling the shots also. And that's true in many ways in life, this tension. On the one hand, we make decisions which we're held accountable for. On the other hand, your Bonus Olam seems to be playing a certain kind of role behind the scenes, leading events to go in a particular direction. And both can be true in many ways. We make certain choices. Hashem plays a certain role. How those two things work out together is not always so clear. But that's something which can happen. Those are, I think, the two of the more mainstream mahalachim that are out there. In the past, you shared another mahalach based on an Orachayim, but I want to try to develop in the time that we have what is, I believe, a wild mahalach of Rav Tzadok. We're not going to stick only to what Rav Tzadok says. He has a lot of Kabbalistic concepts, I think, in there, or at least sort of mystical ideas we're not going to connect to. We'll say it may be a little bit different, but this is a mahalach that is largely based on the writings of Rav Tzadok. And it's a sefer he wrote called Dover Tzedek. And Rav Tzadok has what is an amazingly, amazingly fascinating read of at least part of what's going on here. And that's the following. The brother selling Yosef was not just an attempt, it was not sibling rivalry alone. And it wasn't just Ribono Shel Olam, you know, pulling certain strings from behind the scenes. there was a battle going on, and it has a lot to do with what the brothers thought was really at stake and what was really going on. What was really going on? And Reb Tzadok says something unbelievable. Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. And Yaakov Avinu requested Shalva. What does that mean that Yaakov Avinu requested Shalva? So Reb Tzadok suggests that part of what was going on here was that Yaakov Avinu was under the impression on some level, and the brothers maybe as well, that we were basically returning to the end of days. They were getting to that point of Mashiach, we're getting to that point of La'asid Lavo, and that they'd already gone through a variety of hardships in Lavan, and that their return back to Eretz Yisrael was sort of the end of the struggles of Olam Hazeh. It was the end, and it was ushering in a little bit of a new era. That's what motivated Yaakov. He knew that in this world, Esav sometimes has an upper hand, but he thought, we're at that point right now of Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. There are two future leaders of Klal Yisrael. There's the leadership which comes through Yosef, and the leadership which comes through Yehuda. The leadership which comes through Yosef is called Mashiach ben Yosef. That's one of the people there to usher in that future era. Another person called Mashiach ben David, who comes from Sheva Yehuda. So it tells us that Lo Yasser Sheva mi Yehuda, that leadership is going to be associated with. Leadership is going to come, eventually, is going to come from Yehuda. The Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Sukkah that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come, but he's going to die. He's going to pass away before we can usher in the end of days with Mashiach ben David, before the real Mashiach is able to come. Says Reb Tzadok, that's part of what was happening. Part of what was happening was the brothers thought it's the end of days. And if it's the end of days, it's time for that midah of Mashiach ben Yosef to go away. It's time to send him off. And it's time for Yehuda to emerge as the favorite, quote-unquote, as the leader. That so long as Yosef is there, with the Ketores Pasim, so that's still holding by the step before. But now we're back in Eretz Yisrael, and now we're ready for something bigger, something the ultimate end of days. So they said, let's get rid of Yosef. Let's get rid of Yosef. And let's go Lo Yasser Shevem Yehuda. And now let's go and let's be able to have that new era led by Yehuda. We know what happened. It didn't work out that way. So what happens afterwards? What happens afterwards is the Torah tells us that Yehuda comes back. By the way, it explains Derech Agav, so does not say this, but in Parshas Vayigash, all the interactions are about this, that when Yehuda speaks so strongly to Yosef, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, when Yosef is working as the king, and Yehuda fights very strongly, so the Oiv Yisrael, the Apter Rebbe, says, you know what set off Yehuda, why he spoke so strongly in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash to Yosef? Because Yehuda was saying to Yosef, Yosef, you aren't the king. This is not your midah. Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda. I should be the king. I should be in charge. And why are you in charge? A lot of the battle going on between the brothers was dafka about that. But what happens in Parshas Vayeshev? So after they get messed up, so Yehuda is Vayered. Yehuda, they saw it wasn't so true. It wasn't so true. And Yehuda there was a mistake there. He wasn't ready to take over. But Yimayin, Lunat, and they saw that Yaakov wasn't going to be comforted. So what does Yehuda do at that point in time? So Chazal tells, the Torah tells that Yehuda goes and finds a wife. And what is Yehuda doing at that moment? Say Chazal, he is Osek Be'oro Shel Mashiach. He is starting to lay the groundwork through building his family for the eventual coming of Mashiach. Tamar, it's going to come from Sheva Yehuda. It's going to come from that whole story. Because part of it was a recognition that we're not there right now, and therefore I have to start thinking more about the future. We're not there right now. Let's build and see what is eventually going to happen and what's going to be there, because there was the beginning of a realization that maybe it wasn't really true. That's why on one level they had good kavanas, but when Yosef reveals himself, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, that becomes the ultimate point of clarity that their entire cheshbon was entirely incorrect. This is not the end of days. This is not the eventual time of Geula. This is, it's a step, it's a process, but we're not all there. And the Mechira of Yosef was a mistaken Mechira. And the assumption that Yehuda is going to be, that was a mistake, because I need Yosef. Yehuda thought, I'm the Melech, I'm in charge. I need Yosef, we're not yet holding there. And in many ways then, what you have in the story of Yosef and his brothers was not just a story about sibling rivalry, nor is it just a story about a degree of Asocha Pratis, but there's a very, very powerful sort of additional narrative going on here, which is the story about, are we at, are we not at the end of days? If we're at the end of days, Mashiach ben Yosef, the time is up. Your time is up. Your chalomos are nothing more than chalomos. They're chalomos which are a function of your dreams and a misread. But really, really, we know that those chalomos were real chalomos. Those chalomos weren't just fake dreams. He was mechaving to something very, very real. And that really there was a process that was unfolding that was going to eventually lead to that point of Geula. So a lot going on here between Yosef and the brothers, a lot more than just Tuto Shal Mikra. There are other Mahalchim also, but at least part of it has to do with again, some very, very important Torah, trying to be madir what exactly was going on here with Yosef selling of his brothers.